Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
Putting on a show tonight. 28 points, his best game as a Rocket. James finds him from the free throw line. He missed the jumper. He got it back, puts it up and in. Beasley is being Beasley. 30 points and 9 rebounds for Michael Beasley.
Those were just a few of Michael Beasley's 30 points this March in Atlanta. And really, Rockets fans could see a few more of those games in the future if things go the way that Daryl Morey and new coach Mike D'Antoni want them to. Welcome in to another episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, regularly a reporter with Sports Talk 790, the official flagship station of the team. And this is the show where we take you inside the Rockets and give you basically the most daily news and what's going on with the team. And today, on Monday, August 1st, that's Michael Beasley. The news of the day, if the Rockets keep him on the roster, this is when his $1.4 million deal for next season becomes fully guaranteed, and Mark Stein of ESPN indeed reports that the Rockets do plan to keep him. And it's easy to see why. We've talked with several analysts over the first 2 weeks of hosting this show, including Brett Coromenos over at Real GM, formerly of Grantland, who said that another bench scorer in addition to Eric Gordon remains a primary need for this team. You know, we looked at when Michael Beasley joined this rotation in March, and we said that instantly he was the second best creator after James Harden that the Rockets had the last 2 years. Now, it doesn't make him a great overall player. Certainly, he's well below average defensively. But even after adding Eric Gordon, it's still a need. Eric Gordon is the only, you know, true creator off the dribble that they brought in, and he does have some injury concerns. And there are going to be times when he and Harden play together. So I think you'd want one more person on your second unit if, say, Gordon and Harden are resting at the same time, or if, you know, Gordon gets hurt, and Beasley can potentially be that guy. We saw him, as in that game in Atlanta, put up 30 points in the game before. He's still in the prime of his career. He's still capable of doing that. Now, is Michael Beasley plan A? No, he's not. As far as that bench creator role, I think option A is Sam Dekker. He had a great summer league, basically had a redshirt year his first season in the NBA. And I think the hope from the Rockets is that he can develop into that go-to guy, a catalyst off the bench who can create his own offense and, you know, draw double teams at times. If he doesn't, there's some hope that either KJ McDaniels takes a leap, perhaps with his jump shot, and becomes at least a decent three-point shooter, or maybe Corey Brewer has a bounce-back year similar to what he did in 2014-2015. But, you know, those are definitely your fallbacks. Dekker is your most likely, especially after summer league. I think people feel comfortable in him. And if that doesn't work, Michael Beasley is a good hedge. And at this point, there's no real reason not to keep his $1.4 million. It's a tiny salary in the new salary cap era anyway. And even if you were going to spend that money, with it being August 1st, well, most of the free agents, save a select few, like our own Didonis Mateyunas, are off the market. So there's no real reason to need that salary cap room, so you may as well just keep him and see what he does. Again, I don't expect him to be a huge part of the rotation because he does have defensive deficiencies. However, he's an important hedge because none of the other three, you know, I'll call them wing players, Dekker, KJ McDaniels, and Corey Brewer, you don't feel 100% good about any of those guys. You don't know for sure that any of them is going to step up and be a rotation quality player in the NBA. You can make a case for each of them, and you hope for the best, but you do need to hedge, and Beasley provides that hedge. You know, he's not going to be more than he is. He's going to be a poor defensive player. We know his limitations. He's not exactly the best passer either, but he does bring some above-average NBA skills to the table. He is a good scorer. He is someone that can create offense. And so when you look at a Rockets rotation with so much uncertainty, that's why I think it's a slam dunk to bring him back at the tiny rate of $1.4 million for this coming season. The other news, of course, from the weekend are two articles from the Houston Chronicle. Great beat writer Jonathan Fagan had a couple of scoops. One, he had an article in Sunday's Chronicle talking about the under-the-radar offseason and general manager Daryl Morey's reflections on it. Basically, he got an exclusive interview with Daryl Morey and got Morey's outlook on the rest of the offseason and why he could see this being the team they take to training camp. The other story was yesterday's practice at Toyota Center, where Team USA, in preparation for their final warm-up game before the Olympics tonight, they did their run-through, and while Kevin Durant is not a Rocket this year, he did consider the pitch from the Rockets. He is formerly a teammate of James Harden, and so with Durant in town with Team USA, a lot of local reporters asked him about his view on James Harden. And both of these stories are interesting, and you know, I may as well start with the Durant piece. I think it was a really encouraging to see Durant, who still is a top five player in this league, to just shoot down the ridiculous narrative that players don't want to play with James Harden. And I'm going to read you the quote that Durant gave to Jonathan Fagan and other members of the local media at Toyota Center. "Nobody really appreciates what he does except for the players in our league," Durant said of Harden. "Everybody on the outside doesn't really appreciate what he brings. Anybody that can put up 29 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and not make the All-NBA team, that's like a sin to even think about not putting a guy like that on the All-NBA team. As a player and someone that played with him and a fan of his game, I was angry because somebody is right there in front of you and you can't appreciate him. If he were to retire tomorrow, we would have so many stories and videos about how great he is, but he's here right now doing it. Appreciate what he brings." I think that's really good perspective with Kevin Durant, and I think it pushes back at the absolute silly narrative that we heard from a lot of folks that, you know, do NBA players not want to play with James Harden, and is that why the Rockets have struck out on a few top free agents? I really think, and this is me playing armchair psychologist, but there's a huge faction of sports fans, especially sports fans on Twitter and other social media platforms, who have a tendency to think that everything is within their control, or want to believe that everything is within their control. And it really leads to fans who break down in one of two categories. Either one, because they can't take the uncertainty of free agency, they just assume the worst, assume that, you know, nothing good is ever going to happen for the Rockets. They assume they're going to get no one going into free agency. And I think we know the kind of Twitter accounts I'm talking about there. And the other side is folks that convince themselves that the Rockets are going to succeed in whoever they go after. You know, when it was evident that James Harden was hanging out with Durant in June, you have a certain segment of Twitter that convinced themselves that, you know what, Durant might sign with the Rockets because Harden was working his magic and the two are friends. And the truth is somewhere in between. Harden tried to make his case. It just didn't work out. But where these two groups of fans kind of come together is in this underlying notion that there's something inherently wrong with your team. And the truth of the matter is, it isn't about the Rockets or any one team. Fans really seem to struggle to understand the fact that it's not about you. When you have to go after these stars in the NBA, that's what you need to do because it's a star-driven league and, you know, there's not a huge supply of them. Most teams are going to strike out. That's just the way it is. You look at Al Horford, the Rockets, you know, they didn't get him, but they were one of the only teams that got a meeting with him. From all we've heard, including our own Calvin Watkins, who was on Lockdown Rockets on this past Friday, Durant was willing to grant the Rockets a meeting. It's just that Harden got the sense that the Rockets weren't going to be his pick, and so the Rockets made the choice to move on rather than waste their time on Durant and pursue other players, including the likes of Horford, Ryan Anderson, and Eric Gordon. But there's just this tendency to believe that everything is within a team's control. And when it isn't, then something must be wrong. Something must be pushing these guys away. And really, it doesn't work that way. When you think about the Rockets, first of all, we're only 3 years removed from when the top player on the market, Dwight Howard, in July of 2013, picked the Rockets and picked James Harden as his partner. Since then, they've had, I'd say, five primary pursuits that they failed on, at least in terms of free agency. There was Carmelo Anthony and Chris Bosh in 2014. There was LaMarcus Aldridge in 2015. And Kevin Durant and Al Horford this year. And you know what? Of those five players, that's five all-star caliber players, a couple of them borderline MVP candidates, and most of the teams in the NBA did not even get a meeting. It's very tough to acquire that level of players. There's a very little supply of them and huge demand. So the idea that one team, if you go 3 years and five players without success, that something's wrong, it doesn't really work that way. It doesn't make sense, especially when in the case of Harden, we're not just throwing out, you know, abstract philosophy. His peers voted him MVP, most valuable player, of the entire league 12 months ago. So the idea that, you know, coming off an MVP season, that Harden was unattractive to LaMarcus Aldridge, or that in 12 months, whatever happened with the Rockets this past year, which, by the way, Harden still averaged 29-7-6, becoming only the fourth player in NBA history to do so. The idea that something in those 12 months became an enormous turnoff to the players as a whole, that's absolutely silly. It might work that way in the narrative-driven world of Twitter, where there's so much groupthink and people are eager to just have Vines retweeted, but that's not the way it works in the real world when these players actually analyze each other and decide where they want to spend their careers and who they want to team up with. The idea that Harden's a turnoff was never supported by the evidence. You just have a lot of people who are desperate to believe that it's within their control. So when the Rockets didn't get these players, I think there's a lot of fans that wanted to believe they were doing something wrong. And, you know, pinning it on Harden as his game being unattractive or his personality was the easiest thing to do. And for that matter, the same thing applies to Daryl Morey. I see lots of people criticizing Daryl Morey's approach. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with the approach to going after stars. And there's nothing wrong with how the Rockets sell themselves. There's just such a small subset of players that fit the mold that from time to time, you're going to miss. It's a high bar, and especially these days when players like Durant seem to want to go to situations like Golden State, where it's only the best team in the league will do, the margin for error is really freaking small. So, yeah, this whole idea that James Harden was a turnoff for players around the league was overplayed, or that the Rockets have a serious cultural problem and no one wants to play here. No, it's just the market does not have that many high-quality players. This is a league where top-end talent wins. Everyone in the league, especially this year, had cap space and the desire to go after those players. So it's not easy to get done, but it doesn't mean something is wrong with you. And in the case of the Rockets, as Kevin Durant echoed in this piece Sunday, there's nothing wrong with James Harden. He is very attractive. There's just a few situations, like Golden State, that are a little bit more attractive, and that's what he chose. And so be it. You have to move on, and the Rockets did with signing Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon. But moving forward, I still think you have to feel pretty good about how the Rockets are positioned, both with their franchise and the history of wins. As Daryl Morey continues to point out, the Rockets have the third most wins in the NBA over the past 10 years, and with James Harden, who the players voted MVP just a year ago. And, of course, thanks again for the reporters for capturing that at Twitter Center yesterday in Team USA practice. I wasn't there. I had to work at a Texans training camp helping out ESPN for a couple of days, so I wasn't at the Team USA practice, but we did get those comments, and they were very interesting comments, so we thank those that were there. The other story that Jonathan got with the Chronicle was the exclusive with Daryl Morey talking about the offseason, which is coming to a close pending the culmination of Donatas Mataiunas' free agency. Most people do still expect him to stay with the Rockets. He would like to stay with the Rockets. It's just this awkward dance of restricted free agency where everyone wants leverage, but no one wants to make the first move. And in this interview that Morey gave with Fagan, he talks about the emphasis on this coming year. And that's something they haven't always done in the past. In the past, I can think back to the 2014 offseason. They didn't make a lot of imminent impact signings, I would say. They counted on younger players to step up. I can think of using the Emily on Kostas Papanikolaou and hoping that he was ready. In this case, he pointed out that there's a mix of high upside players. He cited the likes of KJ McDaniels, Sam Decker, Anuaku, and then or Montrezl Harrell, and then the undrafted free agents. And then he also pointed out signing the likes of Nene and Pablo Prigioni, which are veterans that are proven, that bring a sense of culture, a sense of desire, and basically just a proven track record into the locker room. And so the Rockets are putting a premium on, you know, not letting things get off the rail the way they did a year ago. If you have more veterans in the clubhouse, you're more likely to be able to stabilize things. The other and more interesting thing that he talked about, Morey was willing to say that this could be the team the Rockets bring into training camp. His quote, "I think it's a good chance." And why is that? He described the chances of a trade as remote. Nobody really is, Morey said when asked of, you know, if anyone's active in trade talks. Even if we wanted to be, it wouldn't matter. So that really kind of throws a dousing of cold water on some of the whispers that we've heard here and there about, well, is there a consolidation trade? Are they going after Rudy Gay or another big move? The Rockets might want to, but when things are this quiet, they're usually quiet for a reason. And a lot of times, the simplest explanation is the most realistic. In this case, if there's not any talk, if there's not any rumors, it's because there's not a lot going on. What's unique about this offseason in the NBA is that with so many teams having all this money, you saw so many holes filled around the league that wouldn't have been in many other years. You know, with everybody having cap room, people are less dependent on, you know, having to make a trade to fill a rotation spot that they may have. They can just, you know, they can just sign someone with all this room at their disposal, and that's the easier route. You can always make a trade later, but with teams having all these players under contract, basically, I think you're seeing a quieter offseason after those first 15 days of craziness in early July. And that's good for the Rockets because the Rockets do have a balanced roster. You know, there are consolidation moves they can make, certainly. We've talked about the need for further salary reductions, specifically Corey Brewer, if the Rockets want to have max salary cap room next summer when the likes of Russell Westbrook could be free agents. But for now, things seem to be really quiet, and it might stay that way. Keep in mind that players are going to have track records during the year, and teams can adjust and make moves starting December 15th. That's a big day in the NBA calendar because that's when new free agents or free agents that just signed can then be traded on their existing deals. And, of course, up until the trade deadline in late February. And so essentially what this extra cap space does, it lets teams avoid early risk. When teams trade their players, especially players that are highly sought after, it's always a risk. There's always this fear of, am I dealing this player too early? Do I have all the evidence? And now that teams are more easily able to fill their rotations thanks to this huge ability to spend, there's not this sense of urgency to, I'm going to use one example, Minnesota and Ricky Rubio, to trade Rubio to fill two or three other rotation spots. You know, sure, there might be this underlying what if Rubio would work better with Tom Thibodeau. But in the past, if they would get the benefit of maybe filling two or three rotation spots by moving Rubio, they'd say, you know what, there's enough tangible good from that move that let's do it. At this point, there's not really that incentive because they can more easily fill their rotation with all of this cap room. You're not going to be able to bring this added benefit. It's basically just a matter of when is the right time to move their highly sought-after player. And 9 times out of 10, teams are going to err on the side of caution, especially because if you deal an impact player now, if you're a lesser team, in some circumstances, it's like you're giving up on the season. Another example, we've heard little whispers about the Rockets and Paul Millsap, or even the Kings and DeMarcus Cousins. There are people that ask about that all the time. If the Hawks were to deal Millsap or the Kings deal Cousins now, it would essentially be like waving a white flag before the 2016-2017 season even starts. On the other hand, if you wait until January or February, you are still going to get comparable value because it's still the same season. At the end of the day, as long as the Rockets were to get one of these players for the 2017 playoffs, that's all that matters. You know, whether they have them for the full season or just a half in the playoffs isn't that big of a deal in the grand scheme. The sellers, they know that the value is still going to be there. So there's no need to push the envelope anymore. You're seeing teams be a lot more cautious, and with all this newfound cap space allowing them to fill their rotations more easily, you're seeing a lot more GMs that are willing to take their time. So, again, I'm a big proponent of the simplest explanation is usually the most reasonable, and the reason for the lack of trade rumors with the Rockets is probably because, well, it's quiet. And it's not just a lack of trade rumors with the Rockets, it's a lack of trade rumors around the NBA as a whole. There have certainly not been any Woj bombs for some time. We can always hope that there might be in the future, and, you know, there are a few August surprises. You know, 2 years ago, things had really quieted down, or not 2 years ago, 4 years ago, geez, where time flies, August 2012, things had really quieted down on the Dwight Howard trade front, and then it was about August 10th that things really picked back up, and Dwight Howard got traded from Orlando to the Lakers. That was kind of a dagger to a lot of Houston fans that were holding out hope that that the Magic would trade Howard to Houston. But that goes to show you things can blossom quickly. You can have deals where things are very quiet and all it takes is one phone call. But by and large, it's probably going to be quiet. And if it is, the Rockets are pretty content with this group and who they're going to take into training camp this late September and early October. And with that said, that's a good place to wrap up. And it's also a good place to mention a change in schedule for Locked On Rockets in the next few weeks. We do plan on long-term being a daily show. That's what we've been for the past 2 weeks. However, with things being so dead right now, there's simply not enough content to come to you guys every day. So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be a bi-weekly show. We're going to come at you one episode early in the week on Monday or Tuesday, and then one later in the week on Thursday or Friday, just recapping what's going on. We'll also get you some good interviews during those times. And also, if something big breaks, we will still come. If Donatas Mataunas signs tomorrow, we'll have a show tomorrow. If there's a big trade rumor or a trade, then we'll come to you that day. We'll certainly be monitoring things on a daily basis. There just may not be enough content to be a daily during this dead period of August and early September. But once mid-September gets here, we will be back as the daily show you have come to know us as. We'll get you ramped up for camp with previews of every position. We'll get you some interviews with people around the Rockets. And then, of course, when training camp in the preseason gets here, we'll be at Toyota Center almost every day following camp, following practice, following the preseason, getting you all the insight that's going on over at Toyota Center. And in the meantime, while things are going to be quiet on the NBA front, they're certainly not that way with the NFL. As I told you guys earlier, I've been out at NRG Park the last 2 days following the Texans, and things are really getting cranked up over there with training camp. I know a lot of our Rockets fans are also Texans fans, and I'm happy to tell you, as I broke the news last week, Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle has struck a deal to be the host of Locked On Texans. That will be starting very soon. So just like we're Locked On Rockets, we're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, so is Locked On Texans. So I urge you to go to the Locked On Podcast Network, find and subscribe to Locked On Texans, and Aaron Wilson's going to be giving you some really good insight in the weeks ahead. And on that note, I'll sign off. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. You can find me at Ben Dubose. The show is Locked On Rockets. You can find us on Twitter, just like me, at Locked On Rockets. And you can also email us at lockedonrockets@gmail.com with any questions or media inquiries. Just let us know, and we'll be back with you later this week. Have a good one, guys.